Geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. This week, it's Geeks on Super Corruption. For more information and news we talk about in the show, go to our website at www.geekson.com. Hey!
Yay!
Welcome back to another Geeks On. It wasn't 3 months.
Studio's right. Full tonight.
Studio's full tonight. Yes, we've got lots of people to discuss this topic. Why don't we just get to introductions right away? My name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a graphic designer and filmmaker here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
My name is Pete Robinson, and I'm a screenwriter here in Los Angeles, and I'm a geek.
My name is Marisha Ray, and I'm a video game host and actor here in LA, and I, too, am a geek.
My name is Matthew Mercer. I'm an actor, voice actor, writer here in Los Angeles, and am a huge geek.
My name is Ariel, and I'm from DC. I live in LA now, and I am a huge geek. I work in Los Angeles.
Nice.
Rad.
Awesome.
All right.
So, I don't actually know you guys.
Peter's been off the show for...
Due to maternity leave, right?
Yeah, I had maternity... 16 months maternity leave. I had twins, right. So I get twice as much maternity leave.
Right.
So I'm just kind of finally getting a little bit of my life back. Mm. And so can you guys just sort of tell me, introduce me to yourselves and your geekiness, your geeky interests, things like that?
Sure, I'll jump in first. as far as... stuff I've worked on, like I Matt's the one who brought me on this originally. Me and him have the same voiceover agent, mm-hmm. but we're both big tabletop and pen and paper RPG nerds since way back in the day. Everything from Rifts to Rifts is terrible but wonderful.
Good artwork,
great artwork, kind of sometimes depending.
Hey, I played GURPS, so I'm up there.
Oh, there you go.
Rules heavy,
but yeah, that Deadlands. I still have like a 4th edition D&D game I'm running for 2 years.
Wow.
On the cusp of like a 2-year Ravenloft 3.5 game I ran with a bunch of other actors and stuff. So really big into tabletop and pen and paper gaming as well as video games and comic book culture.
Cool.
Yeah, right. And I know I met Matt King through Matt Mercer here. And I was in the sketch that Matt did that was the fantasy football. I was one of the elf girls. Where it was the
cheerleader elves?
Yeah. Oh,
yes, you were cheerleader elves.
We weren't really cheerleaders. We were just dressed up as elves.
Right.
For the it's a good sketch.
Hot elves.
If anybody what's going on, it's on a Funny or Die. And it's called Fantasy Football. And it's like fantasy football mashed with D&D.
That sounds
and that's
great.
Kind of the sketch. But yeah, and then I do a lot of hosting in the video game industry. And I actually have a new show coming out on Game Revolutions called The Grind that's sponsored by Alienware. So that'll be coming out soon. It's pretty cool.
PC
no. Game. Oh, and Batgirl, yes, which I talked about last time I was on the show.
Wait, no, I didn't hear about this, though. Batgirl.
I am doing a...
She's Batgirl.
I'm Batgirl, yeah. I'm doing a web series. Let me show you pictures. I know the... Well, are
good,
you, is that
good
what you're
Good
doing?
Radio, good radio.
Good radio. Let's show pictures, guys.
That's awesome because Batgirl is one of the coolest. Batgirl and Catwoman are like the two coolest outfits that you can have,
right?
You know,
right.
Really,
yeah. And it's we're doing Stephanie Brown Batgirl, so not Barbara Gordon. We're doing Stephanie Brown because her series was kind of cut short by D52 reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is awesome.
Thanks.
That is really cool.
But we just finished filming.
We got a link to that.
Yeah, we just finished filming the fight choreography and all the stuff for the teaser. And we're looking to launch the teaser March 12th. So everyone
Very
is,
soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And right now, just follow at Batgirl Spoiled.
That's
on Twitter.
Batgirl.
Batgirl.
Because I kept hearing Bad Girl.
Right. Yeah. No, Batgirl.
Which I was just as intrigued.
Which tells us
right.
a lot about yeah. Aaron. I mean,
yeah.
you know,
that.
I can't hear what I want to hear.
Right. And the series is called Batgirl Spoiled. And it's going to be a web series. So, like a 12 episode installment.
Wow,
and I'm Batgirl.
Awesome. I'm Batgirl.
And what is the release pattern of that? Like, when is it going to be released, and about how often are the episodes going to come out?
What we're going to try and do mm-hmm. is do weekly,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe take a mid-season break mm-hmm. because we want to do a bunch of episodes. We're gonna try and launch 6 episodes before Comic-Con mm-hmm. and then probably stop around the release of The Dark Knight Rises, being in theater, because we've heard horror stories of DC really cracking down when they have stuff that they're releasing.
Mm-hmm. So you just want to give it wide berth, let them
do their thing so they don't come and like apparate a lawyer mm-hmm. in the room and start immediately suing us.
Yeah, I had a friend doing an Alfred fan series back when the Batman Begins started, and no one's seen him since. So we're just we don't want that to happen again.
I just love that you used the phrase "apparate a lawyer." That's
apparate
awesome.
A lawyer. Yeah, yeah. It's like DC has the means; they have the means. But so that's consuming my life.
Cool.
I was just told today that they want to put me in aerial classes.
That sounds actually like awesome.
Yeah, it's. Yeah.
Well, depending on the clubs you go to in Los Angeles.
Right.
Yeah, maybe.
This is why we always run into each other.
So yeah, that's me.
Cool.
And just general nerddom, big video gamer, tabletopper.
Me, my turn, huh? How do I fit in the geek world? I was born and raised on science fiction.
I'm a poor geek.
Way back in the day, Star Trek was always like my mom's thing, and Star Wars was always my dad's. First movie
married?
Let's see how many fights came out of that.
Unfortunately, my mom is no longer with us. Oh. But until the end, they had their own battles in between each other. Let's see. I've seen every Batman the Animated Series cartoon there ever is.
Nice.
Almost everything that was on Fox Kids in the early 90s. One of the first memories I've ever had was watching Batman 1989 in theaters, which was awesome. currently, I do a lot of editing and directing and things like that. And I have I'm sort of writing a web series right now with one of my friends that we plan on shooting in August. It's about a Doomsday device.
Nice.
More on that later.
Give us a heads up on Doomsday. Sheesh.
Well, you know what year this is. Okay.
Oh yeah.
I can give so we're sort of going on that theme, which should be a lot of fun though. Other than that, like huge, like Battlestar Galactica fan, big into most.
I saw you carrying around some of the new 52. Did you get through any of that stuff?
I actually reviewed the Superman New 52 for a website for one of my friends, Josie Campbell. She's a writer. I forget which website. Sorry, Josie. but I reviewed the new Superman. I thought it was good, somewhat. They turned him into a hipster and didn't explain a lot of things. And if like a kid was just picking it up, he would have been kind of lost, he or she. But on the other hand, I think that Superman's like are the modern day Hercules, and all of his powers. So
what's the point of re-explaining it?
Yeah, you don't have to re-explain a lot of stuff. You're like, that's Superman. I know he can fly, and he's really strong, and he has X-ray vision. Go! So they really don't need to do a lot of backtracking on that.
All righty, you caught up, Peter?
Yeah.
Well, did anybody have a geek week? I have something to report.
It
was recently my birthday, which whenever it's near my birthday, it's also Geeks on Birthday. So this is actually probably right now would be Geeks on's birthday because it was we talked about it at my birthday party 7 years ago. And then like a week or two later, we did our first episode. So
wow.
I remember thinking this will never last.
Now he thinks this will never stop.
For my birthday, we went and did segways down at the beach because I've always wanted to feel. I always wanted to get on this technology that will change the world, and I have to say, it was a pretty amazing feeling because actually it's changed some since the first Segways came out. The first Segway actually had a little steering wheel dial. So even though you're kind of leaning into the movement, in order to turn, you had to turn a little ring. Well, that's gone now. Now you just kind of
lean
the way you want to go, and it just goes that way. And it is what's interesting, it's another one of those pieces of technology, and I'm going to bring up an Apple product so people can groan if they want to, but it's kind of like the iPhone, the iPad, where it is so kind of intuitive to just what's in your brain that it disappears around you almost. Like when I was on the Segway, I got trained for about 5 minutes, and he says, "Okay, let's go." And then we went down a hill, like a 45-degree hill, down into the beach with zillions of people, and I was like, "Is this guy crazy?" And halfway down the hill, that was it. I knew how to use this thing for the rest of the day. I had zero problem. And it almost does feel like it's reading your mind a little bit. Like it works almost the way you walk. You lean forward to walk, and then you kind of catch yourself with your feet, and that's how you propel yourself forward, is you're constantly catching yourself falling.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what that's doing, is the gyroscopes and the computer is putting the wheels underneath you as you fall forward.
Hmm.
And so that same feeling you have walking is the same feeling you have on the Segway. If you want to stroll, you just kind of are strolling. And if you want to move like a son of a gun, it's like you're running. Hard. It's a little silly to go down the beach and use it. I'm not sure if I would ever buy one, because it's not really solving a problem I have in my life. Like, I'm never like, God, I wish I never had to walk again.
Yeah.
And that's the problem with that product, in my opinion. Although you seem to have a different opinion.
There is a guy I've seen in West Hollywood a lot that has a Segway. They actually call him Segway Man. And he rides around on a Segway inside. Like, if you're eating, he'll like roll past you on a Segway, and you're like,
he'll go into a restaurant.
Yes, because he's using it as like a wheelchair, but he's standing on it. It's weird.
Hmm. There's a guy in Hollywood that I used to see at lunchtime, and he just cruised down.
Yeah. Is he an old dude, or is he?
No, he's young. He's like a young guy.
Well, if you spent the money on it, damn it, you better use it.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
More power to this guy.
And you can move. Like, we went from Santa Monica down to Venice, in like 10 minutes. Of course, you're not exhausted at all. You haven't done anything.
Right.
And we weren't even halfway through the battery.
If you had a chance to play Segway polo, would you do it?
Ooh.
You think you could handle it?
That'd be amazing.
Is it that intuitive?
It's definitely that intuitive. You can almost use it without holding onto the bar.
Yeah.
Really.
Wow.
I mean, it's that. Have you done it, Ariel?
I've only been on one that's been formatted for a camera. There's a camera mount on it.
You know, that's
for the red.
The funny thing is, when I was using it, I said you could totally use this.
Yeah.
Like, even you could almost handhold it if you had like
a
steady cam type of thing.
It's for steady cams, and it also has like a little mount on the front that they can anchor a camera to, but there's no handles, so you're going with your legs only. There's like a little pole that your legs go into, like,
oh,
this.
So you're literally
so you're like pivoting, and it can actually go downstairs.
How smooth was it?
It's pretty smooth, because they actually like retrofit it with these like monster tires on the side, so they're no longer like just regular Segway tires. They're these huge, big,
and they're probably like not inflated as much either.
They're kind of soft, but like this, it's kind of like a little it's like a little RC car that you put someone on with a really expensive camera and tell them to go haul ass.
That's amazing.
That would scare the bejesus out of me.
My friend can really work it. His name's Didi. He can like, he just gets on it and he like points his head in one direction and he just starts flying, and he's like, you want to see
no
you get
hands.
Out yeah
holy
no hands
holy hell
oh, yeah
man. I give it 5 years till we have the U.S. military Segway Brigade
out
there in the front line, machine guns mounted to the front, just leaning into battle.
Well, feel all right.
I have seen cops on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I could see, like, if you, you could get around, and then if you wanted to, like, really book, I don't know if you could outrun somebody.
Down at USC, the thing is that you're not doing a lot of walking, and you get to cover a lot of territory without getting worn out.
Mm-hmm.
And down at USC, you see the Segway cops all over the place, you know, just kind of patrolling. If you got to run faster than that, get off and run faster than that.
Yeah, that's true. You can just ditch it and run.
Yeah.
Or hit the nitrous button.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Well, anyway, I just wanted to report that I finally got to try it out. It's like $60 or $80, and you get it for 2 hours. It's totally worth just... Oh, now the reactions on the beach are very interesting. A lot of people are like, oh,
"You don't
God,
say."
Cool. A lot of cool, it's cool. They got a. Where did you get that? Where do you rent those? People were kind of, but I got one or two. One person actually made a comment. They go, "You get any exercise with that?" Like I was like I somehow like, yeah, jackass. I bought this fucking thing. It says rental on it. And I ride it around the beach all the time, ass. You know, like somehow you jogged here to the beach. You didn't take your car. Like, he got the, he had this like real kind of asshole type of like jackass, so you can't even walk around. Like, obviously I'm taking this for a spin, more. I mean, like, take 2 seconds to think about it. But I did get one or two of those looks, like, oh God, really? But screw him. I mean, I look like a big, you look like a big nerd. You got the big helmet.
You have the helmets, yeah.
But it's fun.
They force you to wear a helmet, too.
They force you to wear the helmet.
But like, you dished it, of course, as soon as you got around the corner.
Hell yeah. Only nerds wear helmets. Anyway, just wanted to let you guys know that I've tried out with this amazing technology that's going to change cities as we know it. I was telling about my segue. By the way, Matt just walked in.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Welcome to Geeks On, or maybe me, welcome to Geeks On.
Anybody else has Geek Week they want to talk about before we get into
it? I went to go see The Secret World of Arrietty with my 2.5-year-old, which, let me tell you, is a great experience.
What's The Secret World of Arrietty?
It is the same people, Studio Ghibli, who did, what is it called?
Princess Mononoke, Spirited Away.
Spirited Away, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Amazingly stunning film. Amazingly stunning film. Based on the books of The Borrowers. I don't know if you know The Borrowers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Little How people cool. who
Steal shit.
Yes. In the vernacular. Yes. And
they say that in the book.
Yeah, they do. They're like, we are wee people who steal shit. Yes. But it's just about as well done as it could possibly have been done. My kid only freaked out once.
Oh.
And that's when, you know, and the mother is named Homily. My daughter's middle name is Amelie, so she already had a connection. And there's a point where this old grandmother like rips up the ceiling of the borrower's house and steals the mother and puts her in a jar. My 2-year-old had a little problem with that. She was like, she was totally like, she was a little like, stop it, daddy, 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 like totally escalating. And you can see the parents around me looking at me like, why is your daughter here? And I was like, do you want to go? Do you want to go? And we walked out and we walked to the edge and she was like, no, I want to find out what happens. So it was awesome.
All right. And I guess I'll sneak this into Geek Week. Downloaded SSX demo last night. It's on it's the snowboarding video game, which I've been waiting for like 10 years. And it's pretty good.
Nice.
So comes out next week.
Are you still playing the Star Wars demo? I'm sorry.
I haven't been playing anything really.
Oh, really?
The Star Wars MMO. It's an MMO, and I'm really having a hard time getting to MMO. So
really?
I just don't have any time.
My friends are
like, I'm on 25th level. I'm like, I'm 10 and like 25 just seems impossible. And
I also lost my job. I was about level 13. So
I don't know.
I played 8 days straight. I mean, straight. I didn't actually sleep. Yeah, right.
But Mass Effect is coming out
in
3 weeks, maybe?
3 weeks.
And
I demoed it at Comic-Con.
Oh?
Yeah.
Good.
Now the demo's out.
The demo's out.
Now I heard that they're going to involve the Kinect in it.
They are. Yeah, they're making the demo voice commands.
The demo, you can have a full conversation with the characters now.
Interesting.
And you can do commands.
Yep.
Right.
I'm not sure.
You command like your team.
Yeah. I'm not sure if I'm going to use that as much as just hitting the damn button.
Yeah.
Lightning bolt, you know,
right.
It's like,
Plus, I mean, it's not quite perfect technology, because you'd be like, you know, Rex, shadow charge, and he, like, runs off and starts picking up an item, you're like, no, Rex, never mind, I'll shoot him.
Yeah.
And that command then goes to the next guy, he goes, I'm shooting the other guy, you're like, wait, no, I... dropped.
That's not basically that whole experience of when you're on hold for tech support and you're like saying that you're doing that now with the game. It's like the game has now become frustrating too, you know?
Yeah.
I actually stopped playing the demo because it started getting really spoilery. It's the beginning of the game, but they kind of get you into the action right away. So they're like, fast forward just a little bit. And I'm like, wait a minute. I kind of need to just start from the beginning, so
right.
I turned it off.
You didn't want the info.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
But it looks damn good.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I finished the main missions of Skyrim.
The main? Ooh. You went through all of Skyrim?
I went through all the main mission.
Well, some of those other ones, you know, are endless.
Yeah,
they're generated, and so you will never get to the end of it.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, some of those fetch quests where you like, you know, my vial of whatever is stuck in a cave. Those are kind of randomly placed so that you can just play forever. So Just keep that in mind.
Yeah, I found that out the hard way. I'm like level 57, and I think I'm maybe at the third part of the main quest. I'm like I just got the shout, practically, you know?
Oh, my God.
Like, Fusrado, and that's it. That's all I got. But I'm, you know, in full Daedric armor. And...
I just love running around and just seeing places. Like, I'm running around, look at those clouds around that mountain. That's awesome!
Yeah.
What's amazing about that. Yeah. Did you see that there was a video that they showed at... some video game developer, maybe it was a video game developer.
GDC?
Yeah. Of what they kind of tasks out their programmers that just add some new stuff to Skyrim. And one of them is using the Kinect, so you shout the actual.
I saw that.
Right. Yeah.
Good idea. Good idea. Some of the other stuff was kind of kooky, but I thought that was the best one.
That one's amazing. Although I would want that for myself, but also for my neighbors to utilize it. So then you'd be every now and then be having breakfast and hear off in the distance. Be like, cool, man.
Cool. Yeah, they're getting better with that voice stuff. It's still a little whacked, but yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
Monday.
All right.
On that note, real fast, I've been playing a game called Reckoning, Kingdoms of Amalur.
Mm-hmm.
It's an RPG that EA also put out.
Right.
It's written by R.A. Salvatore, the guy who wrote all the Forgotten Realms books.
Yeah.
The indie series. And Todd McFarlane did all the character artwork. Like, he was the art director for it. And I bought it because I worked on it. I did a little bit of voiceover on it. And then I just wanted to check it out from the demo. And it's actually a really good RPG. Like, the leveling system is really deep, intuitive, but not, like, too overbearing. The combat system is one of the most fun RPG combat systems I've encountered in a long time.
I heard the comment was that it feels like you're supposed to be making all these choices, and yet you don't... make these choices and they don't seem to affect the game at all.
Yeah, no, it's no Witcher 2.
Right, right.
But you know, it's not mind-blowing, but I went into it with, you know, fair to low expectations, and I've actually found it a lot of fun.
What platform is it on?
That's for Xbox 360 and I believe PS3 as well.
And it's called again, one more time?
Reckoning, Kingdoms of Amalur.
Cool.
Do you have to say it like that?
Yes. Do. Actually, it's required.
Okay.
By law.
The Kinect will not activate the game. Exactly like that. All right. Anybody else have anything worth?
No.
All right. News?
News.
News.
Anyone?
News.
I have a bit of news.
All right. Okay. What's your bit of news?
Ghostbusters 3.
Oh, boy.
All right. Bill Murray has said he will not be reprising his role as Dr. Peter Venkman. And so, in a genius casting choice, they're thinking that Dan Aykroyd will take over his role as Venkman.
What?
Exactly.
That's weird.
I think it's the weirdest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, it's a great thing that they both also aged.
I mean, this is complete, you know, it's partially rumor, but yeah.
I could see how they could write around that.
Yeah.
To say that he took over his body.
Body. Or
but,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Boy, why do we... Now, by the way, what are these rumors about Blade Runner 2? This is starting to disturb me.
Yeah.
And not only that, but the rumors actually came from Ridley Scott, which makes it even more disturbing to me.
There's a little part of
me... What, that is going to be Blade Runner 2?
Yeah.
Yeah. A little part of me hopes he's just making it up to just make all the Blade Runner fans like cringe and twitch in their seats.
Yeah.
But, what, hey, would it drive you nuts?
It depends. Yeah. If it's good, it won't. And if it's bad, it'll drive him nuts.
But, yeah, right. Exactly. But
if it's bad, it'll poop in his popcorn. You know? If it's good, it'll be awesome.
I feel like that story's done.
Okay.
So I don't feel like I need... I'd rather him just go...
What if he did another story within the same world?
Well, that I hear... That he suggested, I think, what he was talking about.
And you'd be fine with that?
If it's good, yes.
Yes.
Listen, if it's good, you'll be fine with anything. The problem is when you take something like Star Wars that's like your holy grail and it's beautiful and you love it, and then you do something that like, you know, drags it down and it tarnishes it. You know, that then, I mean, you know.
Which is my other news.
You know, oh.
That Lucas is retiring. George Lucas is retiring.
Yeah, he's retiring because he's sick and tired.
Because
of
he's sick and tired of people bitching about the Star Wars
series. Wait, did he say that?
Yeah,
he did say that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he said he's pretty much gonna.
Peter.
That was the sound of George Lucas crying.
I don't think it's getting picked up on the mics, but my daughter's crying in the other room.
Yeah. He basically he said that he was sick and tired of the Star Wars fans bitching at him, and that he would be retiring and just be writing more sequels to Red Tails, and just be working on whatever he's working
on. Well, it's just one of those things where, like,
bad.
I don't feel
that wrong.
Someone should have, like, slapped George Lucas's hands away from, like, the keyboard. Like, years ago. Like, no, stop, George.
Yeah,
stop.
Should have, but his bodyguards would have broken their hands. Yeah. It's like, that's the problem. It's like, you know.
It's not that. I mean, he's the biggest gorilla in the room. Who's going to tell him no?
Yeah, that was a big part of the
problem.
Who's
going to tell him no? Problem. And, you know, I don't know. I have this kind of, like, double. Like, I love the fact that he does what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a studio.
His reasoning for everything. I just don't love the final product. But the thing is, who else really, other than Steven
Darth
Spielberg,
Vader,
who's been doing the same thing?
Yeah.
And Ford Coppola, who's done what since Godfather? And I mean, who else is really going to sit there and tell George?
Steven Spielberg.
Spielberg.
Right, but Spielberg's in the same boat. He's in the same re-editing craziness.
Yeah, but Steven Spielberg doesn't. He says, my friend, if he says do it, I'll do it. I think they argue.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's tons of, especially regarding, like, Indiana Jones, where Spielberg will be like, yeah, I told him everyone was going to hate this, but I said, okay. And sure enough, everyone hated it.
I think Lucas somewhere has hidden, like, photographs of Spielberg in a very precarious leather outfit in some evening in 83, and that's why Spielberg is just cool with everything he does. Yeah. It's the only way I can really deal with the idea.
Well, I have a limerick about this, so.
Oh, excellent.
Well, there you go.
We'll get to it at the end of the show.
What do you guys think about Prometheus, speaking of?
I was actually just thinking about that, because I was like, what you were saying before, I was like, if it's awesome, then it'll speak for itself, because some of the remakes, like, the Batman franchise, for example, are spectacular.
Yeah.
And so when they do come out, you're like, that was awesome. But when they are done wrong, kind of like no one really knows, what is that? The movie about going to Mars Arnold Schwarzenegger was in.
Oh, Total Recall.
They're redoing Total Recall right now.
Right.
And it's still like, we don't know.
Set in the Blade Runner universe.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. It's totally set in the Blade Runner universe. I saw the clips of Comic Con.
He says
it's set in the Blade Runner universe.
That's kind of weird.
From the stuff that I saw, I mean, down to the geisha coming by on the gigantic blimp.
Right.
I mean, it's the Blade Runner universe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think he just filmed it in Shenzhen, China, because that's what it looks like in Shenzhen, China. But you know,
But I think like as far as like remaking things, as long as they're done with thought and story and character in mind, you know, you can't really go wrong.
True.
Because if you look at like even like Star Trek, that was done wonderfully. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
they
in
did
my eyes.
Such a smart thing with that.
But then is anything? Yeah. But you thought Star Trek was good?
I think that Star Trek was the very best version you can do when someone loves something that much, and I think they did the smartest thing possible, which is they said it's a different universe.
I had no problem.
That makes no sense to me.
I had no problem with certain parts of Star Trek, and other parts of Star Trek were literally like, who gave every single sci-fi guy the scene that they have to put in the movie where the bigger creature eats the smaller creature ad infinitum?
Okay, let me just put it this way. Matt, that movie was great. There was a 10-minute sequence in there that was like a bunch of weird coincidental bullshit. But I love the movie in general. I thought it was great. And I call bullshit on you that you don't understand parallel universes and time travel. You understand parallel universes and time travel.
I don't understand why that's a good choice. Oh, you know what? I have to reset the universe because so I can write fresh. Otherwise, I'd be tramping on old stuff. Really? And then I bet you I guarantee your second movie is going to have a whole bunch of people from the stolen from the universe anyway.
No. The whole point is that by changing it in that way, you remove the direct comparison because people are going to hate it if you fuck with their universe.
People
didn't get them off the hook.
I think it did.
You're all wrong.
We agree.
It was really pleasing. Like, you still had the same characters, but they're all new people. They're all younger. A lot of people hate that. They just, in general, hate it when you recast everyone.
I just wanted to play Sulu. That was my only problem.
I love the Spock choice.
Was wonderful.
I mean, such a hard character to cast, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I appreciate when people kind of
take, you know, put their own creative input into it. And I don't know, and fans freak out so much in dealing with writing and creating a fan series right now. We've discussed tenfold, you know, messing with the canon.
True.
Of the project. And it's kind of one of those things where it's like, we don't want to necessarily be strapped down just by what some writer over at DC said. You know, we want kind of want to put our own spin on it. But as soon as you kind of be like, well, we know it's not necessarily canon for this person to be there, but we would love for them to be there, and it's kind of our own thing. But then that's when everybody starts having a heart attack. And it's like, come on, guys.
No, I
come
agree.
On.
I well, totally I mean, that was one of the problems I had with Captain America, was I felt like they spent so much time trying to get everything that was canon in to the detriment of the story.
Yeah. Well, I'm just looking forward to James Franco as Picard in the next gen reboot. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Awesome. Oh, I don't know.
Actually, really,
Shia LaBeouf.
Sorry. No. Side note. No. Side note. There's a really funny video running around called "Worf Gets Owned."
Oh yeah,
I've seen that.
It's like
amazing.
It's like 15 minutes. It's 15 like, minutes.
That's not a good idea.
That's not a good idea, Worf. And it's
I had no
like,
idea that happened that much in that
I
show.
I didn't either. But it makes me like
so funny.
Like Michael Dorn is it?
Michael Dorn.
Yeah. He must be at home going, "Yeah, finally! Like you're seeing." You know, like he must finally be like, "This is what I was putting up with for
I
6 years."
I brought this up in season one. I am not a merry man.
So shall we talk about our subject of the night?
All right, let's talk. Yeah, since we're already 34 minutes. Yeah. All right, to our topic.
Never talk to me about time.
Okay, the topic this week is inspired by us going to see the movie Chronicle.
Max Landis.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to talk about superpowers corrupting.
Max Landis.
And creating supervillains. Actually, I kind of want to expand it even more than that, but...
Can we talk about Max Landis?
We can talk about whatever you'd like.
Max Landis?
Yes.
Okay.
So,
I don't know the guy. I just think he's cool.
So, first of all...
we do, which makes this awkward.
Yeah.
First of all, maybe we should talk about if we like the movie or not, just to get that out of the way. What did you guys think about the movie?
First of all, let me just say, I'm not a big fan of the found footage genre.
Right.
You know? So it was a little rough at the beginning until I kind of like forgot about it and just got used to it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I loved the movie. I thought it was so much fun. I thought it was really intelligent. I thought it was really smart. By the way, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen it, turn this off. It's going to be a
lot of spoilers.
Yeah. But, yeah. I just love the intelligence of the person that is your protagonist becoming the villain by the end. I thought that was a really, really smart choice and brilliant.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I got a little bored in the middle, but and you're right. The found footage stuff is always a little hit or miss for me. Like, it worked at the beginning when Blair Witch did it, when everyone was tricked.
Yeah.
And now it's like we're not being tricked anymore, so now it's this kind of fake found footage thing going on. But I thought it worked in this.
I enjoyed it. I think what made it different was... when they were able to use their telekinesis to make the camera.
To hold the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was really smart.
You know, and I also, the thing, and I felt it especially with this movie, with the whole found footage thing, it taps into people's voyeur tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just makes you be like, oh. But I mean, I agree. I'm kind of found footage. But I think.
Cloverfield, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I thought it was pretty good.
All right.
Okay. I enjoyed it. Cross. It was the only movie in the theater I've ever been nauseous watching.
Okay.
Yeah.
I completely agree.
Yeah, definitely.
That's one of the great things about the telekinesis you talk about. It. The camera work gets very smooth very quickly.
Right.
Yep.
You know.
Well, when you have telekinesis, you know.
Right. And of course, being in film and things of that nature, I was like, oh, that crane shot was amazing. And because that's how you think. But, you know, and I think it was interesting how they were able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I liked it. And I think it was concise. And I like movies that focus on the people and the people's powers or things of that nature and doesn't necessarily completely go into why they have these powers.
Right.
Exactly. And I really liked that. Like,
well,
I don't...
You just totally made Aaron warm all over.
Like, they
King
got
of the
powers.
I fucking hate origin stories.
Right. Like, I don't need to know where this glowing orb under the ground came from. I don't care.
Right.
I do not
It has
care.
Nothing to do with the story
the
at all.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So I like that. That was
Although, did you see that you felt like they were setting sequels up for, we're going to find out where that glowing thing came from.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, on that same note, too, what I also enjoyed, and I actively saw this, was after the whole sequence where they, you know, interact with this thing they find, it cuts to them already having had some time with their powers and figuring it out, as opposed to doing the, you know, 20, 25 minute, all of a sudden I moved the cornflake.
Right.
What does that mean? Steve, did you move a cornflake? I moved too. We should talk about this. You know, like, it just skipped that entire part that so many films would and have done,
mm-hmm.
and went right into them having fun with their powers. And that was what you came to see. And I really enjoyed that. It moved quick. It was only like an hour and 20 minute runtime, but it was the perfect length.
Yeah. I love them playing football up in the sky.
That was awesome.
I mean, like, with their like snow coats on. It's like freezing. It's like, it's very cool. And then, and you're just waiting the whole time. You know a plane's going to come. You're just waiting and waiting and waiting. And it's like the clouds are all over those. And it built up the tension nicely. It was really pretty cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the theme that this movie touches upon is, well, partly is, these kids who get powers, they begin to change, especially one of them. It actually starts affecting their personality, and they are corrupted. They're tempted by having this power. And so I just want to talk about, you know, that theme has popped up. Actually, I also want to talk about the opposite, as being tempted to be a hero. I mean, why doesn't somebody get a superpower and go, you know what? Okay, fine. I can fly. But you know what? I'm a lawyer. I just want to freaking practice law. Like, why do I have to go save somebody all the damn time? That's also connected as well.
To practice law in the sky.
So, and here we have, I love how they also gave you a pretty good timeline of why this person would have gone the way he did. It wasn't like, well, do you have, I'm just going to, you weaklings, you know, it was like, you see like how it could germinate. Like,
well, do you also want to bring in the TV show Misfits?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, before we get there, I mean, I just want to talk about what you're talking about for a second,
okay.
Which is, I mean, that's what to me makes the movie work, is that the character work is really great in this film.
Mm-hmm.
That the hero, the path that he takes to become a villain is really fluid and smooth, and you buy it. You know, you see he's a messed up, hurt, you know, individual.
And you even are like, you understand why he's hurt. Like, God damn it. You know, like, he's has a base for his reason why he's doing it.
Yeah.
You know, that's,
and when he's, and when he starts to become a villain, he's actually trying to do it for a good reason.
Exactly.
And when he finally snaps, it's a pretty intense reason to snap. So, I just thought the character work and that whole thread was great. So
the way I stated it when, you know, Matt and I were discussing it after seeing it, is that the character fits the archetype of the kid that brings a gun to school, you know?
Yeah. You're right.
And they effectively gave him a whole army of guns.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they up the ante.
They up the ante. So, and it's one of those things, it's like, yes, he got the power, but he was already a messed up person beforehand. So that's what happens when
it amplifies.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things I think these stories bring up is the fact that this happens in real life.
Right.
You know, you hand somebody a gun and they get a superpower.
Yeah.
In the room. They've got the person. They're the person with the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Or you hand somebody a pile of money and then they become corrupt, too. I mean, that's the big corruption story that we tell over and over and over again. Although we assume that if you get a superpower that you're going to go start saving people. But we don't tell a lot of stories that if you get a lot of money, that really you should be doing the same thing, saving people.
Right.
That story doesn't Winfrey hold style. That much.
Well, that's one of the things I like about the show Misfits, is that it's exactly that. It's people who get superpowers and they have absolutely no interest in saving people. That's not what they want to do. It has nothing to do with they occasionally do wind up, you know, helping the world a little bit, but most of the time it's because they're trying to save their own skin.
They're very self-serving.
Tell us what the show Misfits.
Yeah, so Misfits is about a couple of juvenile offenders who are doing public service work. You know, they got to clean up trash. Get their orange jumpsuits, and then one day a freak storm comes by, and
they
all get superpowers, and then it just takes all the superhero conventions that you would expect, and it goes the opposite direction. I mean, it's just a story about these guys
and cleaning up trash. They still actually they're still clean.
Yeah, they're still cleaning up trash. You know,
they have to finish their
Isn't
hours.
Isn't the story of Misfits though contained within like a month of time? Because like, well, during, does it skip at all? Because I'm in like the first or second episode of the second season. And he was like 3 weeks have passed. He was like, I died in the last 2 weeks twice. So it's like, it, I thought like,
it's a
very
pretty
small amount
short
of time.
Period of time. I don't
mean,
know
it goes.
It's...
The first two seasons are completely over their life. It was supposed to be like 6 weeks of community service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it takes place over like the 6 weeks.
So like they fall into a lot of conflict early on that they sort of have to clean up, which is really interesting to see mm-hmm. how they get out of it.
Right. And then, I mean, it's kind of
in that they learn from their powers.
One of the in the second season, one of the characters mentions, you know, we wouldn't be getting ourselves into all these problems if we didn't even have these superpowers.
Right. It's the things know? That are... Now, does it... Do you see it in Misfits? Is it corrupting them or changing them in any way, though? Or is it just getting... Is it just like this shenanigans?
No, again, the powers are all enhancing. And the powers are reflective of their personality.
Well, they're definitely... Yeah. Right. Yeah. The sex bomb is kind of paying for her...
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The girl that wants everyone to find her attractive and want to sleep with her... suddenly can't touch anyone because if she does, they want to sleep with her.
Yeah. Which, for the record, when I first saw that show, my friend was telling me, that's the worst superpower ever. I'm like, yes, but thinking about it from a logistic comic book standpoint, Magneto would be so much easier if you could just get her in contact with him. You know, like this great supervillain that the X-Men cannot stop, but just fastball special or random, Magneto just stops holding the bridge up and is just taking his pants off and everyone just beats him up. Like, she's the ultimate X-Men if you think about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
Sex-Men.
Oh, wow. Well, if you didn't
coming
say,
to
I
DVD
would've...
only this summer. This summer. 6 weeks.
There's this great thing that happens in the third. I mean, they also explore powers in such an interesting way. excuse me. They also explore powers in such an interesting way. And there's this really great thing that happens in the third season where one of the guys gets his power gets changed. And so his new power is he can be a guy or a woman. And it's one of the coolest subplots in the season. It's so much fun for like 3 or 4 episodes. It's really awesome. It's one of the best things about the third season. You'll see.
Well, also there's other people in the city who's gotten these powers because of the electrical storm, and they all seem to kind of they take advantage of what they have. Like, you know, there's a woman who ends up having a relationship with one of the misfits who was actually 80 years old, but her superpower is that she, you know, can turn into a 20-year-old.
Hmm.
But they're not out. I mean, I'm not sure how you would solve crimes with that one, but you know, they're all using their superpowers for their own personal gain. Now, you know, none of them are like bending bars and stuff like that, but some of the superpowers are pretty powerful.
Well, I love that their communication was always like they're trying to derive the answers to their questions from what they know of superheroes. So they're always like, one of us has got to be able to fly. I mean, I don't know who's going to be able to do it, but, you know, everybody, you know, I mean, the guy who's the creepiest guy in the world, he said he was the first one to say, maybe we should be heroes.
Yeah.
Mm. And everybody was like, what, are you out of your mind?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great.
Well, that particular character just also wanted to be seen and wanted to be a part of something big, whereas the rest of them sort of already had it, you know?
Yeah.
Or not even something big, but they were already a part of a community.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that character's Simon. Right. Yeah. He's the one that's invisible. His power is invisibility. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen it. But, like, he wanted that. He wanted to have that sort of X-Men feel to it from the get-go, but like the rest of them were sort of like, okay, we're a kid, go stand in the corner. So
well, actually almost all of their powers are about revealing something, you know.
Well, that's every character in the whole show, whatever power they get is in some way reflective of their psychology.
So but it's also about revealing psychology. So like the sexual character, when she touches somebody, not only does she sexually influence them, but we immediately get a view into what this person who she's touching, how they deal with sex.
Right.
Yes.
You know, so the character's like, I'm going to piss on your chest. And the old man who she touches is like, young lady, I would be really helpful if you, you know, and it was like,
your creamy thighs.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I, and every single one of the characters in some way looks at human psychology through their powers, which I thought was a really, really neat way to do it.
Well, it's interesting that it's flip-flop. We were originally talking with Chronicle about how the superpower amplified the personality.
Right.
And now we're talking about a show where the personality amplifies the superpower. Yeah. It's kind of a flip-flop on that.
Interesting.
And going back to Chronicle, there was also, because in Misfits, every character also had that moment where they're, even if their power kind of sucked, like the girl who it would kind of be lame to have, like the girl, the touch, she still had that moment where they show her walking through a bar and she's just touching everybody. And she's just like loving it. And every character had that moment. And then they did it in Chronicle as well, you know, where they're like, this is amazing. And what I found interesting in Chronicle is, you know, the main character is this kid who just, you know, he's beaten down at home. He's beaten down at school. He just has no self-confidence. And finally, he gets the power. And amongst his friends, he gets this confidence boost. And he has a line where he's like, I'm stronger than you. I'm better than you. You know, and he has this whole rant where suddenly he's stronger. He's better. He's more powerful.
That kind of gets into, like, some of the classic, like, I have superpowers, now I'm a bad guy, which we've seen, you know, the first aired Star Trek pilot was essentially that. Team goes down to the planet, two of them get superpowers, and he starts seeing everybody as, you know, flies.
Right.
Humans as flies, and so he can't even help himself to think these thoughts, because it's like trying to be relating to bugs. Like,
right. Well, that's like Dr. Manhattan. I mean, does that, and the question that I have, because we have had human beings who are extraordinarily gifted, do we have a historical record that shows that to be actually the case, or do people who have?
I think time itself, money, politics, anything, those are all in a sort of ways, your power becomes who you have standing behind you. So you, instead of having a superpower of strength, your superpower is this army that's the biggest the world's ever seen.
Right.
So it can all be traced, or can be an allegory for.
And yet we have people who have tremendous amounts of power and tend to do
good
things with it.
And I think that speaks to Superman. Because you have a choice at some point. You can either be quote-unquote bad guy or quote-unquote good guy. Hmm. In my eyes, there is no such thing as bad or good. It's only like, you know, it's opinionated in a lot of ways, because a lot of people are out for their own well-being.
I would say that there is such thing as good and bad. I mean, I would definitively say I believe there's good and bad in the world. I mean, because I've seen things that you can't call it anything but evil. And I've seen people do things that you can't call anything but heroic. And you know, people have sacrificed everything for other people. You know, so I do believe that there's that, but I think that the thing about power is that it's not that power corrupts. I think it's that power brings out, if you have flaws, power will magnify those flaws.
Well, then you're almost on her boat saying maybe those people aren't evil. They're doing evil.
I think that
they don't corrupt, if they don't go evil, they're just bringing
I guess what I'm saying is power can only corrupt you if you have
the seeds.
Fissures.
Yeah.
Don't, seeds. That's why you give the ring to the hobbits and you don't give it the ring to anybody else. Yeah. Because the hobbits don't have the seed.
Exactly. That's interesting. Exactly right.
Yeah. And once again, like I was saying, like, you know, with Chronicle, he was already messed up.
Yeah.
You know, when he got the power, but his cousin clearly he had his issues as well, but none as extreme. You know,
do you think that, like, those two characters, there are three people who got superpowers in that movie, that when we tell stories that we easily let those people off the hook? I mean, are we all sitting in this room about ready to go off the deep end if we get superpowers? Or do we have to have our dad beat us and all that? Like, how close are we?
Well, I always wonder whether or not there's the difference between example and the difference between what is reality. Because right now, a lot of the way we portray our heroes in film is we portray them as gray, as there's so many shades of gray, and nothing's just black and white. And the way we used to portray them was hands on hips, you know, everybody was good. Now, were there always those shades of gray and that's how people behaved? Or did by taking away a paragon of good, by saying good doesn't even exist in the mythos that we are presenting to people, by saying even the mythos has shades of gray, does that also remove something that we can then aspire to that is better than us?
I think yes and no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there are so many factors that go into it, and including your own personality and your own will, you know, your own willpower. Because I know a lot of people who had just really shitty upbringings and, like, terrible parents, and they're great people today because they rose above it. Mm-hmm. You know, and they were like, you know, there were the people that were like, I'm not going to treat my kid the way my parents treated me, you know, and things of that nature. And I find those people often are also able to forgive and understand a lot more, you know. And but I've also known the people who they're 30 and they're still resenting their parents, you know, and they're like, my parents were shitheads, they were awful, I hate them. Right. And they're kind of messed up people. You know, but then there's also, there's just so many factors. Mm-hmm. And then there's, of course, your own opinion on what's good.
Right.
You know, because I feel a lot of villains, which I've always found fascinating in mythos and stories, a lot of villains, in their mind, they're not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
It's right. just a means to an end.
Well, the thing about writing, like, a good villain is that you can't say, that guy's bad.
No.
Because that doesn't make him at all interesting. Yeah, if you just go, okay, he's purely evil, he's purely bad, he's going to rise above and he has big, huge, like, things. You're just like, that's not cool at all.
Right.
It's always interesting when something's happened to your villain and this is why it's happened and you are supposed to sort of relate to him in a lot of ways and laugh with him. And then in the end, he sort of brings about his own downfall.
Right.
Which would be the lesson to the story.
It's I just feel like we have labels like good and evil.
Yes.
For a reason, because we need those labels.
Yes.
But the definition for those labels is, I mean, it's an entire color spectrum.
I think so. Yeah, I was going to say it's the color spectrum that has the colors that bleed over into right. each other.
But even, you know, even when you go pretty extreme on that, it still makes it more interesting storytelling. When you think, when you're Darth Vader's, when you see the little spot, you go, that's tragic.
Yeah.
That's more interesting than go, ah, he's a dark hole. There's no good in him. And it's even, and it's more relatable for the good guy when Superman thinks, why do I care about these people? I'm so much stronger than him. You think, I could relate to that just for a moment.
But also, I mean, when I saw Star Wars initially, who I related to as a child, and actually probably through my teens, was Luke.
I know, because Darth Vader was really the only thing interesting about him is his damn costume.
Yeah.
Right. But no, but no, Wars. But I'm saying you could relate to Han, you could relate to Chewie.
Han was awesome. He was filled with
right.
gray.
But who I related to was Luke, because he was this paragon. And I felt in my own heart that I was trying to be as good as Luke. I was trying to be the white Jedi. I was always trying to and in a certain way, one of the things that I do that I lament in stories now is that we don't just have white hats. And it's not okay.
You've definitely mentioned that before.
Yeah.
But I would be surprised if you saw something, a movie now, and liked it if it didn't explore a well-rounded, like if you went, hey, why is that bad guy a bad guy? I don't know. Wore a black hat. Good enough for me.
Right, but is it okay to just, is it okay, can you create a well-rounded character who is just a white hat or a well-rounded character who is just a black hat?
I can say I've known people like that. From a story standpoint, that really depends on the strength of the writer, but I've known people that are white hat wearers. And, you know, they're individuals that for whatever inexplicable reason, whether it be them a result of their upbringing or just they came into this world, if you want to put it that way, a good person,
right.
they are just good people and vice versa.
Right.
Like I saw a really good documentary about just the essence of evil in humanity and how like from a sociological standpoint, yes, human beings are in many ways a result of their environment growing up.
Right.
But at the same time, there is that thread where one way or another, people just eventually embrace selfishness.
Right.
And I mean, what is evil? Well, in essence, like is it just being purely selfish? No, that's not necessarily evil. That's just selfish. It depends on what you want. If you think evil is just the person that cares, again, about nobody else in society and is purely sociopathic, you know, you'd have to define what evil is.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's a philosophical discussion.
Yeah.
I mean, I reference all the time the Stanford Prison Experiment.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right, right.
You
Could you explain that really fast for people who don't know what that is?
That experiment that everyone brings up, I just heard about this on Radiolab.
Oh, really?
That is not the full story of that experiment.
Really?
Yes. Oh. And we should we'll bring it up.
Well, can you package the Stanford Prison Experiment?
Why don't you tell what the general story is?
Ten words or less.
The additional the upgrade,
and then and then we'll hit this on another Geeks On.
Yeah, I'm not super well learned about it. But
I don't know no learning about this stuff.
I don't know much. Importance
to the Wikipedias.
Yeah. but yeah, Stanford College, you know, it's Ivy League, right? Stanford's Ivy League. They held an experiment where they took 20 students and they made 10 of them prisoners and 10 of them prison guards, and they left them in a prison like. What's that?
Yeah, no, you're right. You're totally right.
In a prison like environment. Mm-hmm. And made them kind of role play out this scenario. And within like 24 hours, isn't it? It's something ridiculous, like a really short time period. The prison guards started getting corrupted with their power and started like abusing the prisoners. And it got really weird and really messed up.
And by the way, I was thinking the shock experiment.
Yeah, I was thinking the shock experiment too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard about this one, but this experiment is basically... They would have someone in a room, and they would say, "Okay, we're going to do an experiment. It's a learning experiment, and we've got a subject in the next room. You can hear them, and if they get the answer wrong, you're going to shock them."
Oh, right! And they would just do it, and it was an actor.
It was an actor, yeah. And the actor would start saying, "This, please stop. This is really hurting. I think I'm having a heart attack," and the person who was in the position of authority would say, "Keep doing it." And some of these people would continue until they thought the person was dead.
Right.
That's one that's not the full story.
Okay, so what's the full story?
Full story is that they actually did that experiment zillions of times.
Yeah.
And they when the person with authority told the person to hit the button, if he says you must do it, almost every single time they said I'm not doing it anymore. Okay. There is a time where 60% of the people did it. When they weren't really told any of that stuff, and when they asked, they said, well, as I thought that on the other end, that they agreed to experiment and that I agreed to experiment, and this was a super I was told this is super important, and that even though I knew that things were wrong, in the greater good, I thought it was for the best.
Interesting. So I was just following orders is bullshit?
No. So when someone made them do it by an order, mm-hmm. they said, screw you. I'm not doing it.
Exactly.
It dropped down to like 3% would do it. Yeah. Wow. So anyway, there's a great Radio Lab on that. I think it's Radio Lab, and they talk about that.
Interesting.
But a little off topic.
But the Stanford Prison Experiment is literally watching... People get corrupted by power in a very, very short period of time.
Right.
Now, this is what's the Invisible Man movie?
Hollow Man.
Yeah. Same exact.
Yeah. Right.
It's kind of. But that was kind of ridiculous. That was like,
so bad.
I can turn invisible.
I'm gonna kill everyone.
My neighbor.
Yeah.
No. Trust me. The movie's awful, but it has the same premise, which is superpower corrupts. And he
wasn't that making him go crazy about a scientific experiment he went about doing.
Yeah, they tried to explain that.
It wasn't the power corrupts. It was more like weird science screws up your brain.
Yeah, they're like, but doctor, you can't do it again. You're mine. And he's like, don't tell me what to do.
Okay, so
I'm Kevin Bacon. I'm naked.
Yeah. Go make me a
be afraid.
Don't tell me what to do.
Don't tell me what to do.
I gotta get a couple more.
I'm Kevin Bacon here, and I'm naked.
Your parents immediately.
What do you feel about kind of that's. I think it's relatable. People who get superpowers who don't do anything, who say, you know what, I'm not going to save people.
Not going to do either. Not going to save
either. Is that
I'm going to let the bus, the people die on the bus that's going over, you know, that's about ready to get hit by the train.
They could have done.
Do they have a responsibility? If you get superpowers, are you responsible to go and help?
Well, here's a funny story.
I was on this bus.
are you going to reveal your superpower?
Yeah. Yes.
Awesome.
Hotness.
No.
It's a mail to Matt King.
I was a certified lifeguard for some time, for a good 6 years. And part of the training that you go through to be a lifeguard, you know, you do your first aid, you know, CPR, and then your lifeguard training. Then you also go through, like, a what is legal training.
Okay.
And in light of all of this...
You only help when you absolutely have to.
Exactly. And we were taught that because they have the Good Samaritan law.
Right.
Which means if you rescue someone and you, if you go to attempt to do CPR, you know, or you see someone and you break their sternum, you can't sue. But there's always the loops. You had to have been exact. You can't, it's effectively almost like a malpractice thing.
Right.
So if they find out that you did 23 breaths instead of 25,
right,
it's awful. You know, then you can still sue. And it happens all the time.
Oh, I remember this See You Next Tuesday who got, this guy tried to save her and ripped open her clothes and pretty much, you know, tried to save her. She sued right. him for, like, exposing her breasts. What?
Right.
It's absurd. I'm trying not to swear because you know, I would slap the shit out of that bitch.
And I mean, they drilled us on, there was a very specific order of things. If you know, if someone was at the bottom of the pool.
Wait a minute. So you're saying that you wouldn't go and save people with your superpowers because you're afraid to be sued?
That's today's society.
You know what? They would though. It kind of like at the beginning of Incredibles.
I know a guy who wrote
and Ghostbusters too. Right. They were being sued by everybody.
I saw a short film. A guy.
Did you not see the Pixar film?
Yeah, Mr. Incredibles.
Well, yeah. I know somebody wrote a short film with the same thing, and he was essentially Superman. He started going around saving people. People started jumping off buildings just to see if he would come and because they wanted to be saved. And he missed one, and they all started suing. So he just left, and then everybody was stuck having to deal with their own shit, and they didn't like that either.
Exactly.
But
more than enough money to solve most of the world's problems.
I would save people to a certain extent.
Let's say you could fly. You're impervious to pain, and you have your super strength. You're saying that you would say, I don't think maybe if there was a bus near me, but I'm not going to go fly too far away.
I think if I was at a fair and the Sizzler machine fling off, I might respond.
But other than that, you're keeping quiet.
Am I going to get judged?
Yes.
Because of this judged. Answer.
Yes, you are.
I don't know. It's a tough call.
Okay, I have another question.
You get
$4 billion dumped on you.
Yeah.
Do you help with your money?
Yeah.
Okay, but you would not help if you had any other type of power.
Listen, well, $4 billion allows you to outsource quite a bit. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, I don't have to go to Somalia.
You go incorporated now.
You know,
I think you have an obligation to do something for society.
Yeah. So you feel like if you found out, like if you found out I had superpowers and I hadn't and for like all these years, you'd be like, you son of a bitch.
Yes.
Look, you know, look, let me put it this way. I think you have an obligation when you see something that's happening that's wrong to try and help if you can, as long as it's not going to get you killed.
So you're saying, you know, with great power comes great
I absolutely believe that. And he's
practiced it. Actually.
And I put myself in situations.
Yeah, Peter's, you know, Peter's done it a couple of times. So
but he does
practice what he preaches.
But yeah, and I absolutely believe that.
Okay.
Now, I'll tell you, I have an interesting question.
However, I do agree that there are no living heroes. You know, the guys who do put themselves in the way of bullets are usually dead.
Yeah.
I think there are humans walking on Earth that help out all the time. Yep. They're heroes everywhere.
Yep.
That's what it comes down to.
I mean, I think, you know, not to get all sappy and cue the violins, but I think, you know, there's a hero. I always try and listen to people, you know, because you never know who is that person who doesn't have anybody listen to them,
right.
You know? And I was also the kid in school where if I saw someone getting picked on, I'd be like, yo, douchebag,
yeah,
back off, you know, because
you were afraid of getting sued.
I wasn't afraid of being sued. No.
Come on.
Do
but
not.
You're all, you guys should write
but
that
you're also
all
right.
I gotta say is do
it's
not.
It's such a tricky thing, like to do any type of medical interference with somebody. Right. It's totally true. People
like
do.
Like I said,
yeah.
we were
firemen,
taught.
All those guys. Yeah. You go pull somebody out of a building, and some a hole sues you because
Aaron. Do not drive with auto shade in place. That's all I've got to say. Do not drive. You know the auto shade front of the mirror. It says put auto shade in mirror. Pull down the sun visors to hold auto shade in place. Right. 3, do not drive with auto shade in place.
Yeah, there's a whole planet filled with people who need those effing instructions.
Right. Exactly.
Caution, right. This cup
because
may be
otherwise
filled with hot liquid.
It's, you know, because there are supervillains, and those supervillains can believe. They can
So here's my question for you.
Okay.
We are all in Misfits.
Okay.
We all know each other. We have a sense of each other's personality.
Oh, wow.
We all suddenly...
I don't want to play this game because you guys are gonna... I can't... My ego can't take that.
We all suddenly... I actually don't know what the... This just occurred to me. So I haven't thought about this
I'm
at all.
I'm like, my superpower is
but I'm kind of curious.
Like, asshole or something.
No! Okay.
The
so,
gaper.
If you had to give a psychologically appropriate...
Wow, really?
A psychologically appropriate power to each other in the room,
oh, no.
Knowing each other, what would it be?
Aaron would be...
Oh, I can't take it.
Able to analyze weaknesses in anything.
Yes, yeah, so that makes sense. He would see the
don't
chinks
sit
in everything.
There,
the one is structurally wrong. Yeah,
exactly. It would be the type of thing like someone sitting on a chair and you'd look and you'd know if I tap it right here, boom, the chair falls down.
Exactly.
Yeah, it would be that.
So like a spidey sense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's actually a really cool power.
That is.
Like a dude that can like see like, you know, all right, that's cool. All right, keep going.
Let's see, Pete.
My incredible powers of hair.
How about this?
No, because you.
How about
you're
people go
good.
On the forum and pick them for us?
Okay.
Either go on the forum or go to Facebook.
That's a good one.
And pick our superpowers.
Okay. I think Matt would be able to roll a natural d20 like every time, or something.
No,
like
that.
Which Matt? Me or
that could go for
Matt,
either? Really?
Either Matt,
because you
Matt.
Are very
pick
lucky.
One.
I'm incredibly lucky. So.
But also, like you have like a gift of gab type of thing.
True.
You'd be like,
oh, the silver tongue.
True. Yeah.
You kind of have a silver tongue.
Yeah,
true.
It'd be like
true.
Talk our way into the Comic Con.
Yeah, have you ever have you seen the books? The what are they? George R. R. Martin edited them. The Aces,
Wild Cards.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one guy in that when they went through the McCarthyism. Part of it, and there was one guy who was called Silver Tongue or whatever his power was, but he had these pheromones that he was constantly creating, and he could get people to do whatever he wanted them to do. And so, like, he went into the McCarthy hearings, and he had like McCarthy naked dancing on the table with his tie and everything, you know, because they had the audacity to question him, and then they just wouldn't bring him in anymore.
But like, I am kind of curious. Like, what else would you guys?
I don't know
what would your powers be?
Everybody as well.
Yeah, what would my power be, Matt? You know what I get all the time? Wow. You know what, Marisha? You really look like this one girl that I hate.
So, so you're metamorph into other people?
That people
no, you,
hate.
No,
I
can be anyone as long as it's someone you hate.
That's exactly.
I can tell you what my real
the antagonizer.
I can get a song stuck in all your guys'
heads. Oh, really?
That is a super rough.
That's pretty rough.
Yeah. Well, I do have. I do later on have a lyric about this. A limerick about this.
I'll think about it, Peter. I'll let you know. But,
well, do we have another topic, or should we move to limericks?
No, maybe since we've talked this one to death.
Let's hit some limericks.
All right. So,
I wish I knew you better, because I'd love to know what your power is. I'm absolutely curious.
Maybe it's mystery.
Mysterioso. Yes. He walks around and people are constantly like,
there's something about, I don't want.
Okay, so what we decided to do is.
Superpowers, you cannot be understood.
Exactly. We decided
they call her the Tower of Babel.
Or just Babel.
Are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
No, he's never done.
We decided to write some geeky limericks to end the show. We don't have to go on with it, too many of these things. Mine are kind of awful, I guess. I was told that's what limericks are.
Should we go around one at a time? I think we should go one at a time and then come back.
Sure.
Okay,
I've got three.
One,
I only got one.
I've got five.
You got five?
Yeah.
You went ape shit.
Like a poet over here.
All right. Aaron, you going to start it? All right, so see, did we have a stipulation other than superhero limericks?
I have three. Only one is a superhero one.
Okay.
It was geeky limericks.
Okay, mine are all superhero. Cool.
Okay, I'll start with my one superhero then. It's called Supers from 1982. With great power, I guess I'd feel trapped. full potential I would leave untapped. With my morals being spotty, I'd probably be naughty, kind of like Scott Baio in that movie Zapped.
Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Okay. Excellent.
There once was a man in Gotham who said, "I think that I'll shock them." He cut up his face, put a smile in its place, and he went out and shot them.
Nice. Ooh. Both Peter I did a Joker limerick with our first one.
I have a Joker.
He's in my brain.
Oh, we have two or three Jokers.
Should we do them all on top?
Yeah. It's a Joker, yeah.
Yeah.
Wildcard round.
There was a commissioner's daughter who was just like Batman, but hotter. A madman broke in with a sinister grin and without thinking twice went and shot her.
Oh, nice. Very good.
Nice. Oh, man, that suck.
All right, Matt.
Mine is not Joker related. The
no,
first
Matt,
one.
You got to do yours.
You want to do mine?
Joker
round. I'm going to do mine as Ed Wynn.
Oh. Yes.
You know who Ed Wynn is? He was voice of the Mad Hatter.
Yes.
The thing. All right. "I've always thought Batgirl was funky," said Joker to his cymbal-tapping monkey. "She karate chops my boys and has such wonderful toys. How I wish she would pound on my flunky."
Flunky. I'm learning so much about you right now.
Ah. Nice. Matt, go.
All right. They announced D&D's 5th edition. The reaction was first a petition. But I hope for the best on the company's quest. Just be sure Thacko stays in omission.
Nice! That was geeky as shit. That
yep.
Nerd. I have a zombie one here. That's called 2 to the Zed.
You have a title?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. I was not that bit of a completionist.
Is it okay to kill a zombie? So it seems on AMC. At least they're beginning to ask and put the question to task, which makes it way more interesting to me.
I actually have a zombie one too.
Oh,
what is your round?
Zombie round.
Zombie round.
Sure.
I got zombie round.
It's a Resident Evil one. Okay. Maybe I shouldn't have said that.
No.
Yes. There once was a corp named Umbrella whose crimes could fill a novella. Right now I'm supplying, so what are you buying? Wait, it looks like you got salmonella.
Nice. Well,
anybody else got a zombie one?
No, not me.
All right.
Well, you guys have more, so why don't you...
Yeah, Pete, do you have another one?
No, I'm done.
That's
it.
Okay. This one has a little backstory in the fact that I play Femme Shepard in Mass Effect 3, the female Shepard. I was very disappointed in Mass Effect 2 that you're not allowed to have a lesbian relationship with the character Tali. I was disappointed.
Now, by the way, when you said you played her, I thought you said you were saying you did the voiceover of her, and I went, "You are a pretty good voiceover."
I was hoping you noticed.
No.
Okay, so you played.
I played through the first two games as a female Shepard character, and was disappointed that one of my favorite characters was not a relationship option for me.
Okay,
so this is what kind of the basis of this one.
Sad face.
With the release of Mass Effect 3 comes the climax of this trilogy. But my Femme Shepard's glory, while part of the story, takes a backseat to Lezing Tali.
Oh, wow.
Tali, right. Huh?
Tali. I actually went in that romance with everybody. I was like, oh, this is fun.
I wanted to talk about
the slutty ship's mate.
Which one? Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
I didn't do...
Space VD.
Yeah, actually, she was the one who, like, did the whole, like, dance in your quarters and stuff like that. I was like, yeah, come on.
So I have, like, a... Oh, do you have one?
Yeah, I got one.
Go.
All right. He thought Soups was a high-flying ape and dreamt of choking him slowly with his cape. If he planned it just right, he could find some kryptonite and then easily make his escape.
Ooh.
Okay. Do you have...
I have, like, a super... That's what a would you call it?
It's
obscure.
Obscure.
Okay, obscure. Lean into the mic.
I'll see if anybody gets this.
Okay.
There once was a boy from Onet who united the greatest quartet. They used psychic powers for 30-odd hours, then fought a weird red silhouette.
We should have done this, man.
Wait, sorry. There once was a boy from Onet.
There once was a boy from Onet who united the greatest quartet. They used psychic powers for 30-odd hours, then fought a weird red silhouette.
All right, that's another Facebook. If anyone knows what that's from, okay. Post it on Facebook.
You're going to have to tell us after we're off the air, though.
Sure.
Okay.
Somebody will get it on Facebook.
Sure. A quartet right. Of psychic powers.
This one's called We Were There, George.
Oh, no.
Okay.
This is why he quit.
Okay. Okay, now Lucas is lying. Han shot first, we keep crying. But with this recent interview, he claims that was never true. And the edit, he was just refining.
Oh, that was good. That was a good one.
Yeah, you've heard about that, right?
Yeah.
That he never had shot first. It was just unclear in the edit. So he had just cleaned up the edit, and that's why it looks like it's been reversed.
Yeah. There's such like a, like people are so angry about that on the internet.
It's like, we saw it.
Yeah.
We were there.
You put it in. Yeah.
On that note, I'll do my angry director one.
Okay.
Okay. There once was a boy named Aang, whose series went off with a bang. Then M. Night called him Ong, which was entirely wrong. Can someone please stomp on his wang?
Do you have problems with the Hulk?
The Hulk?
Yeah. All right.
Matt, you out?
I'll do my last one. All right. This is kind of a I guess kind of semi-dirty Final Fantasy VII one. In the industry town of Midgar, by the back of the slums was a bar. Though it wasn't the beer that brought everyone here, but the owner's grand titties by far.
Wow.
You have to have one of those as a lyric.
Exactly. It's, kind of, right. It's necessary for a limerick.
Limericks are supposed to be dirty, aren't they?
I thought dirty limerick when I read the email the first time.
Dirty limerick.
You were just seeing what you wanted
to say. All right, wait. I got one that's weird.
Okay.
And let's see if you can figure out the payoff by the end. All right, here we go. Leaving the planet destroyed to our sorrow. He said, you can no stop me, a mirror fine copy, who killed like there was to no tomorrow. There was a fine villain named Bizarro. Oh,
nice. Respect.
Did everybody get it?
Is it an anagram?
Well, Bizarro was, Bizarro's of course, name. Superman's right. Villain who did everything backwards. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, no, okay.
That's pretty cool.
Me being clever.
It's very clever.
That's very clever.
You're so clever.
You're too clever. So awesome clever.
Is that your superpower?
My clever cleverness.
Okay, this is my last one.
Okay.
It's a Game of Thrones one.
Oh, all right. Good close. Good
it's
close.
It's got spoilers.
Nice
so if
variety.
Anyone hasn't seen
of,
it,
you know.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. This is Game of
She's
Thrones.
She's like,
spoiler.
I'm a geek, yo.
Season one spoilers.
Okay. Some people will reach through the mic and kill us if we. Okay.
Right.
Season one spoilers.
See, in like first half of season one.
Okay.
There once was a man they called Ned, considered by all thoroughbred. Gripping tightly his sword, he cursed his young lord, who responded by taking his head.
Ooh. Nice.
Yes. Mm, yes. Mm.
That is guys. Actually, those were more fun than I thought they'd be.
No.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
All right.
And if anyone knows the answer to Marisha's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or what Peter's superpower is.
What Peter's superpower is. Go to Facebook or our forums. We get a lot of you know, stuff going on Facebook.
I know what
right
Peter's
now.
Superpower is.
What is it?
It's diagnosis.
He's like a CSI.
Like that's a kind doctor? Of... Like that exists?
No, he'd be able to go, you have cancer, and it's here.
So it's kind of like my superpower, but I can just do like wood legs of chairs.
And I do it with people.
Yeah. Between the two of you, you got this coming.
Well, that's kind of reminiscent of the Green Mile, a John Coffey.
Yeah. Totally true. John Coffey.
All right, is there anything else we need to talk about before we wrap this one up?
No.
Well, we're going to be doing more Geeksons at a greater pace. What's the next big geek movie, by the way, we all have to go see?
Spider-Man? No, that's later.
No.
That's later, yeah.
Avengers is coming out in May.
Avengers, Prometheus, I don't know.
Prometheus.
It's a maybe? Huge geek year, but...
It is a geek year.
Everything's loaded. Everything's loaded. G.I. Joe?
G.I. Joe, I don't know, maybe.
Well, no, don't go see G.I. Joe. For God's sakes.
All right, well, let's go play some video games and stuff, and we can talk about that next or something.
Yes. All right.
Board game. Well, how about I'll have a board game day, and we'll
Ooh.
Play some board games.
Ooh, excellent. Mansions of Madness.
We could talk about that.
Mansions of Madness.
Have you played it?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah.
No, she wants to talk about it because she doesn't like it.
Because a lot of people, I have it, and we're having a hard time getting through that game.
Oh, really?
So I'm curious. Yeah, we should talk about it later. We'll all play right. it. Maybe we'll play it and figure it out.
Okay, I'll run Keeper for you guys.
All right, cool. All right, everybody, have a good geek week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Geek it out.